The text for this morning's message is our gospel reading for today from the second chapter of Luke. As always, I would invite you to follow along in your Bibles. If you're using the Pew Bible, you would find this reading on page 858, the account of Jesus in the temple. Dear Christian friends, we begin with prayer. God, our Father, as we come to your word, we pray that you may fill us with awe at its power, at its wisdom, at the grace that it showers in our lives, that our hearts might be filled with joy, and that we dedicate our lives in service to you. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So as we read through the gospel reading for today, that Jesus was left behind by his parents in Jerusalem, I can't help but be reminded of that rather classic movie that you may be familiar with called Home Alone. And so it's the story of this 10 to 12-year-old boy that he was left at home by his parents when his extended family were chaotically leaving to go on an international trip to France for this great vacation. And so the mom is at the baggage claim in France when she realizes that she forgot her son. And this is her reaction. Well, you know, we might call our gospel reading for today not Home Alone, but maybe Jerusalem Alone. But it's not the story of a little boy that was lost in a big city or even of negligent parents, but rather it's the story of God's Son, Jesus, knowing exactly who he was and why he came into the world. And this was something that he needed to remind his parents of. And certainly it's something that we need to remind ourselves of as well. That last week we met this boy Jesus in our reading when he was brought as an infant into the temple with Mary and Joseph, just a little bit over a month old at the time. They had traveled from Bethlehem to Jerusalem in order to dedicate him to the Lord and also to offer an offering for purification. Then after this side trip into Egypt to escape Herod, eventually, the family went and they lived in the city of Nazareth where Jesus would be growing up. And so we don't know a lot about the childhood of Jesus. We have the account from last week and this week, 12 years later. And so this tells us what was going on at that time in verses 40 to 42. It says, "And the child, Jesus, grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom." So it had been 12 years. And so as the family would do every year, they would go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Now this was one of the three great feasts that God had commanded his people to observe, and the Passover, rightly so, was the greatest feast, the greatest festival of all, because it marked how God, by his grace and his power, brought the people of Israel out of their centuries-long slavery in Egypt, brought them by a miracle through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, and finally gave them victory into the promised land. But the Passover also reminded God's people that there was yet another Messiah who was going to come. This one would free them from slavery to sin by his sacrifice and then bring eternal life to all. So every year, Mary and Joseph, along with thousands of other faithful pilgrims from all over the land of Israel, would converge upon Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. But this would be a Passover that Mary and Joseph would not soon forget. Look at verse 43. "Now when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. So the festival came to an end, and the family began to journey back to Nazareth, but without Jesus. And they thought that he was in the group, and they traveled for nearly a day, and they started looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and they didn't find Jesus." Now, if you've ever lost track of a child, you know that feeling. It's a frantic search. You will not stop looking. That's all you can think about until the child is found. Now, we might ask ourselves, well, how could this happen? Well, it's important to remember that Jesus was now 12. And in Jewish custom at that time, at about that age, is when a boy would make that transition from childhood to adulthood. And so at around this age, Jesus would have been given a little bit more independence. Now, I know that there are many of you sitting in the pews today that would speak about the old days in the summer, that as perhaps a 12-year-old child or a 10-year-old child, your mother would kick you out of the house in the morning, and you could go out and play on your bicycle anywhere in the whole city for the entire day. You just had to be back for supper. And that could have been a bit what it was like for Jesus. He was not so close under the thumb of his parents. But also in those days, the people would travel, these pilgrims, in groups. And so the men would be in one group, and then the women and children would be in the other group. And so in this sort of transitional year at the age of 12, you know, Mary may have thought that Jesus was with Joseph because the men traveled separately, and Joseph may have thought that Jesus was with Mary. But when they camped together that night, they discovered that he was not with either one of them. And so they went on this frantic search for Jesus. They discovered that Jesus was missing. Verse 45. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. And so they retraced their steps back to the city, and they probably looked where all the places you would normally look for a 12-year-old boy, right? They probably looked in the creek, and was there some mud to play in? Were there some other boys to play with? All those sorts of things. But they couldn't find him. And so finally, they arrived at the temple, and that's where Jesus was. As we're told in verse 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And so the religious experts of the day who were at the temple had what came to be a very common reaction to the teachings of Jesus. They were amazed. Here's Jesus, just 12 years old, asking them questions, giving answers, showing a great maturity well beyond his age, and putting things together in a fashion that simply wowed everybody that could hear him. And so at first, Mary and Joseph are also caught up in this amazement. Verse 48 says, and when his parents saw him, they were astonished. But it didn't take long until the parent reaction came to the front. And they with frustration and fear and anger, they all came together, and Mary questions Jesus and says, son, why have you treated us like this? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. Well, the answer of the 12-year-old Jesus was simple and to the point. Verse 49, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? Jesus was saying, you should have been looking for me in the obvious place, in my father's house. And at first, that answer of Jesus might be a little bit dismissive toward his parents for all the concern that they had for him. But when we look closer at the answer of Jesus, it tells us a couple of important things. First of all, that Jesus understood who he was. That he was more than just a 12-year-old boy, but rather he knew that he was indeed the Son of God, that it was no surprising revelation dropped out of heaven at a later date about who he was, but rather he knew that he had a mission to accomplish to bring God's salvation to the world. But the second thing that it tells us is that Jesus' parents also needed a reminder about who he was and why he was living in this world. That yes, he was their son, but he was also the Son of God. Now, why would Mary and Joseph need to be reminded? I mean, after all, his birth was announced by angels to Mary and to Joseph, and then the shepherds came to worship Jesus and the wise men as well. But, you know, as the years ticked by, Jesus probably began to seem like a rather normal child, that Mary and Joseph had to change his diapers, had to teach him how to walk and how to talk. Jesus had to learn things and how to be an assistant to his father. And so he was just like any other child. He would eat and sleep and get up in the morning just like anyone else. And so to Mary and Joseph, Jesus would have appeared to be, you know, like any other child. But he had a very specific purpose to carry out his father's plan for the salvation of the world. Now, did you notice the reaction of Mary and Joseph to Jesus' answer? Look at verse 50. And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. Now, does that surprise you that they didn't understand? But I think we probably know how they felt, don't we? You know, because sometimes Jesus gives us answers that we really don't understand, and we don't know how his answers can even be possible. We don't understand how his answers given from Scripture can be good for us, or that why we should do the things that God asks us to do. Sometimes we say, God, I don't get it. But here's the thing. God doesn't ask us necessarily to understand everything, but rather to believe. Now, why would God ask us to believe the things that we don't understand? It's as simple as the fact that God's way of thinking is so much higher than ours. He understands all things and knows all things, so it shouldn't surprise us that we're not going to understand, certainly immediately, everything that God has to say, his wisdom and his knowledge and his power. And so here is God, as a 12-year-old boy, learning about the Bible that he wrote, and living in a family which he, as God, structured for the care of children from the beginning of time. Why? Why would Jesus be willing to humble himself and be submissive to his parents to that extent? It was because he knew that that is what it was going to take. That it was going to take everything that he had to win salvation for us and to get us to heaven. That we couldn't do it, so he was going to have to trust God for us. He was going to have to follow God for us. He was going to have to be obedient to God for us. And in the end, he was going to have to die for us to take the penalty of sin, which should have been ours, that should have separated us from God forever. And so Jesus lived in our place. And he even faced that separation from God, from his Father, so that we would never have to. And so this 12-year-old Jesus understood. He knew that he was sent to be the Savior of the world. Then look at verse 51. And he, Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Jesus was willing to be submissive, even though he was God, to his very parents. And even though Mary and Joseph may not have fully understood everything that Jesus had to say, did you notice what Mary does in verse 51? And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Mary thought of all of these things. She would bring them to mind. And no doubt she was filled with wonder at everything that she had seen and heard. But she was also very puzzled, no doubt. Now, do you like jigsaw puzzles? Now, if you get a jigsaw puzzle out of the cabinet and you dump it onto the table, of course, there it doesn't look like much of anything. You see all of these different colors and all of these different parts, and they don't seem to make much sense. But you start separating them into the different piles of colors, and of course you look for the different edges so you can begin to piece it all together. And when finally it is completed, then it all makes sense. And that's what Mary was doing. She was collecting the pieces of these puzzles. She didn't immediately understand everything that Jesus would be. Even as she stood at the foot of the cross, no doubt, she continued to be puzzled and wondered and filled with fear and grief. But she treasured them because she knew that they were significant and they had something important to speak into her life. And that's what we see. Because Jesus, in his words and in his works, became God's Son, the Savior, who gave his very life for us on the cross. It might seem to be a puzzle at first, but it all comes together for us on the cross, where Jesus gave his life as the ransom for us, as he extended his hands to be nailed there, so that he could grasp our hands and lead us to the shores of heaven. So I think it's a good reminder for us when it comes to studying the Scriptures that there's things that we might not understand at first that we wonder about, and we may wonder about their significance and their importance. But we remember that of all the things that God could have recorded in the Scripture, He wrote down what He wanted, and that they have a purpose for our lives. And they might not seem significant at first, but we simply do what Mary does, that we see, we keep them, we treasure them in our hearts, and then it may only be later on that we begin to understand how that verse of Scripture has this amazing and important impact in our lives. As we fit those pieces together, God's Word begins to make sense. As we look back at our lives, we see how the Scriptures have led and guided us to this very point. We continue to be like Mary and treasure all these words of Jesus in our hearts as they impact and bring us life. And so, yes, that Passover when Jesus was in Jerusalem alone was a pretty memorable trip for Mary and Joseph, no doubt, but one of great significance to them and to us, because Jesus is being shown not only as a boy, not only as true man, but also true God, sent to do His Father's will, completely capable of carrying out that work of salvation. And that puzzle all makes sense with that Jesus, the boy God next door, true God, but also true man, who won salvation for us on the cross. In His name, amen.